You are now listening to The Power of the Cross with Bishop Farrell Wilson with the Lighthouse Church in Grenada, Mississippi.
Good morning. This is Pastor Wilson, and I welcome you to this edition of The Power of the Cross. I'm the pastor of the Lighthouse Church in Grenada, Mississippi. If you are looking this Sunday morning for a local church to attend, I invite you to come join us at the Lighthouse. We are located at Highway 7 North at exit 211 just off Interstate 55. Our service times this Sunday will be 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you need more information, do not hesitate to call us at 662-294-0608.
Psalms chapter 11, verse 1. This was to the chief musician, a psalm of David. You may or may not know this, but psalms are a songbook, big collection of songs. And this is a song that David wrote. He's starting in verse 1. I'll read the whole psalm. It's not very long. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. And the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in my holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked in him that love violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and horrible tempests. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Lord, we come to you in prayer one more time, God, asking you, Father, for your blessings and your anointing upon this service. Anoint me to preach, anoint the people to hear, and we ask it in Jesus' name, the name that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Amen, Lord. David wrote this psalm when Saul was trying to kill him. I think the timeline is pretty easy to peg. And when somebody's trying to kill you, it'll put you on your knees. Amen. David was going through a lot, and he was crying out to the Lord. And the neat thing about the psalms are, and this is word, no other manuscript wrote by man. I mean, we've had great authors in our time, or in the span of human history, Shakespeare and many others. That just one pops in the name of my mind. Just great writers throughout the ages. But none of them could pen the words like the Lord could, because here's what happens in the Psalms. Not only do they carry meaning for David at that time when he was going through a lot of travesty, Saul's trying to kill him, it also carries a meaning of what it can do in our, or what's happening in our life. And more importantly, I think, in my mind's eye, it's not one I'm ministering on, but something about the Psalms a lot of people don't know. They're very prophetic in nature. And then most of the Psalms point directly to something about Jesus Christ. But today we're going to look at it for us. I want to give you this thought, this sermon here today. America is collapsing. America is collapsing. This song would do us well to understand we're surrounded by all sides of wickedness. We walk out that door today, you should know where we stand in time. You should be able to at least have a little bit of sense of knowledge of the Bible. And I'm going to give you just a little bit this morning that where we stand right now, America's collapsing. We've kid ourselves too long. We've all sat back and thought that everything is going to get better. There is nothing, I'm not saying there can't be a time of Nineveh and a revival, but there is going to come a time when God said enough is enough. And the Bible is very clear. I think as we read the New Testament especially and look at some of the epistles, I think we start seeing with the condition of the people that they would heap teachers to themselves, having itching ears, meaning that we want to hear what we want to hear. We don't want to be told that nothing is wrong. But in the midst of all this, God still has a plan. Amen. God and David, he knew that the man was trying to kill him. He knew a lot of things were going on, but David still knew that God had a plan. And verse 1 said, David said, at the very beginning, I put my trust in the Lord. What do you have your trust in today? In this world that we live in, this modern day, people have their trust in everything but God. They've got it manned in all kinds of schemes and devices. People would rather have the leadership of men than they would of God. I see even Christians getting behind people. There's one particular politician right now that there's been nothing but moral decay behind his entire life, and Christians are holding him up as like the savior for this country. I don't see a candidate one in my mind's eye. They're all corrupt. I'm sorry, but a politician is not the answer for this country anymore. America's collapsing. We've had politicians for hundreds of years, and the further they draw away from God, America is collapsing in its very foundations. We need to put our trust in heavenly leadership. How many of you know that this morning we need to be finding men and women full of the Holy Ghost, getting beside them, holding up their arms on the left and right? It's in the Bible when Moses was weak. He had people come up and hold his arms on the left and right. I could tell you that pastoring is tough. It's one of the toughest things I've ever did in my life, but God supplies the strength. I can tell you in all phases of ministry, just being a Christian, period, is tough nowadays. If you stand for the right thing, you're called a religious fanatic. If we stand for the right thing morally, we're told we're homophobic. We can't no longer be lukewarm and trust God when times are good. That's the only time Christians want to trust God, is when things are real great. I'll believe in God, but when times get tough, let's start looking to something else. You know, there are beginning of the perilous times you see before you right now. 2 Timothy says this, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves. Listen, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and from such people turn away. These things are not popular that I'm telling you. The masses are going to follow something that is not the power of God. Turn away from them, the Bible said. When we turn away and we trust in a strong tower that the righteous can run into and be blessed. It's a strong tower that we can run into. It's a strong tower that we can run into. Hold on to those nail-scarred hands that you can trust in. Flee as a bird to the mountain. The devil wants all of us to tuck tail and run this morning. Every single one of us, the devil wants you to tuck tail, run away from the church. Christians compromising because somebody might be offended this morning. People saying we're religious fanatics. We got to stand and trust in the Lord more than ever. We got to be leading people to the Lord in these last days. We've got to. We've got to be pushing forward and telling people about this glorious gospel. There's nothing more important in this world right now. Nothing. 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 The wicked secretly plot to destroy the children of God is what it says in verse 2. Evidently, some were telling David, you're not going to make it. Run to the mountain, flee. You're not going to make it. That's the devil's favorite device to tell you this morning. You're not going to make it. The devil would tell you, you're not going to make it. But David understood that he had a refuge to go to. Satan does nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy, and does a great job of convincing Christians to go home and be quiet. I was so proud of some Texas cheerleaders this week. They carried back to the Supreme Court of Texas. They were holding up signs of Scripture. They said, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. And the school said, you got to take those banners down. And they submitted back and appealed it to the Supreme Court, and they said that their religious rights were being violated. Amen? We've got to start standing up and tell people what's right. It's not out of hate. It's out of love that I stand up here and tell you this morning that things are not good here, but God has a plan. You better understand that there's a strong tower you can run to. There's a strong tower you can go and hide in when things aren't going good. Quit listening to the devil that things are over. And David said, when the foundations collapse, what can the righteous do? The Hebrew word for foundation is shalthal, and it's two parts. It means political and moral support. He was saying, when all the even back then, when all the politics have failed you, when all the morals of a country have failed you and people are doing the wrong thing, when the pillars of a nation have collapsed, what can the righteous do? What can we do when all these things are gone? What can we do in the United States now? What can we do that all the moral pillars are gone? I mean, in the past 4 years, I have watched socially, I have watched in education, I have watched in the health care, I have watched morally, I have watched on, I could go on and on and on, how everything in the United States, the pillar has been kicked out from up under it and is starting collapse, and Christians are setting back. Well, as long as I'm still getting my paycheck and nothing affects me or my family, God bless them, we'll just ignore it. That's what I see. What can we do? Then what can we do, Brother Wilson? Everything's collapsing right before our very eyes. You see it just like I do. Are we going to just sit on the pew stand this morning? Or what are we going to do when we go out those doors? How are we going to get this gospel out? The answer's in the remaining verses. In verse 4, let me tell you what it says in verse 4. God sees all. Hallelujah. What is happening in the U.S. right now? God sees it. Don't you kid yourself for a minute and think God doesn't see what's going on. Don't you kid yourself and think that God doesn't see what you're going through this morning. He knows your heart. He knows your sickness. He knows your pain. He's not a God out some far distant galaxy that is just kind of getting some tidbits here and there. He knows about every single person here this morning. He knows from the littlest to the oldest. God sees all. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He knows everything. He sees what you're going through this morning. Now, if he sees what we're going through, know that God has an answer. Listen in verse 5, the Lord tests people. He'll test us. Why? God allows us to go through things for this very reason right here. You can take this analogy with you. When they take precious metal out of the earth, when they take gold and silver, it isn't all that pretty shined up coin. It took a lot of things to get there. The process of refining silver and other precious metal involves putting metal through intense heat that literally burns and consumes all the impurities out of it. Can I tell you this day, every one of us have a bunch of impurities that we need burned out of us? One silversmith was asked, how do you know when the silver is ready? When you're doing your work, a silversmith, he takes these raw metals and he carries it through this process of fire, gets the impurity out of it. Out comes a nice shiny bar glimmering. How do you get it to that point? He said, it's simple. I heat it until I can see my reflection. And when I see my reflection, I know it's ready. Don't you know that God is carrying you through that process this morning? He's carrying you through steps. He's carrying you through things you don't understand. That when it's all said and done, you can reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Ain't that wonderful to know that when God's done with this work that he has you going through, that when it's all said and done, you can reflect the glory of a thrice holy God to this world. Don't tell me it ain't possible, because it's possible. God has a plan to carry you through trials and tribulations. And I'm going to tell you, I think the church, just in my opinion, this is Wilsonology, Brother Randy. I can't tell you how I can find this in the Bible, maybe just a little bit, but I think it's high time that the church needs to go through this refining process. We need to be carried back to the basics of Christ and him crucified and carried and have our feet knocked out up under just a little bit to let us know who's in charge. When we look back, we're going to realize all this was for our good. What do you mean? Even despite the things going on in the United States, I truly believe and I know that God is carrying it somewhere. I think when it's all said and done, we're going to look back many years later, whether it be in heaven or up on this earth, And we're going to say thank you, God, for the things you carried us through. You teach your child about unpleasant things sometimes, don't you? Now, if I seen one of you mothers, I ain't going to name no name, but if your daughter's son was going down to pick up a rattlesnake or a cottonmouth and you seen him walking towards it, what are you going to do? Sit there, oh, it's okay. Just be careful when you pick it up. Don't worry about it. Well, go out there in the interstate and play a little bit. You know, there's a lot of room out there on Highway 7. Just get out there and play a little ball this morning. It'll be all right. So why do we get upset when God's doing something to us? Let me tell you what. Them are the earmarks that God cares for you when there's chastisement in your life. When there's things you know you've been doing wrong. When there's places you know you don't need to be at and bad things happen, have you ever thought that maybe God is chastising you because he loves you? People wonder why all these things go wrong in the world. I have watched tragedy bring people closer to the Lord. I have watched some of the most adverse circumstances bring people to where they need to be with God. And verse 6 says this, and just the one thought I want to grab out of it this morning, but the wicked get one thing from God. If you're wicked this morning, here's the one thing you're going to get. I don't think you're wicked if you're here in church. You're looking, you're searching, every one of us. But the wicked that just despise the good things of God, here's what they'll get from God. One thing, let me say it one more time, get it out right. If you're wicked and evil, you're going to get one thing from God. If you don't want to repent, you don't want to turn from your ways, you'll get judgment. I have watched God judge people, and it's no fun to sit back and watch them be judged. He will send fiery coals and flaming sulfur down on the wicked. They will drink nothing but scorching wind. Sounds like a place I don't want to be. How many churches across the land of the United States this morning is going to tell their people there's a place called hell? Because that's what that sounds like to me. When this is all said and done, you may have a moment of pleasure of sin or a season of sin upon this earth. But when eternity comes, that's where God will set everything right. I promise you there's no unbelievers in hell this morning. There's no atheist in hell. I watch it. Atheism to me is on a rise in the United States. Heard a lady say this week, said, I have no fear of meeting your God, not one bit. I said, well, you will when the day comes. John the Baptist's message, and what about the ministers? John the Baptist's messages weren't, smile, God loves you. Read your Bible, pick it up and read it. All these messages we hear coming, I know there's messages out there that can pull the crowds, and they're preaching these great messages of positive reinforcement, and you can do good in life, and everything's great and energized in the coming year. But listen to this. John the Baptist wasn't, smile, God loves you. Here was his message. Oh, generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Jeremiah was in a miry pit for preaching. How many preachers would sign up to be behind the pulpit this morning if they were promised to be in a miry pit? What that means is they shoved him down in probably human waste. All the junk and garbage, and it was in a pit, kind of like a septic tank. And they shoved Jeremiah down in there for preaching. What was he preaching? It wasn't, I'm okay and you're okay. That wasn't what Jeremiah was preaching. He was crying out against adultery and other idolatry and wickedness of his nation. He stood up and told them, y'all are a wicked generation. And they said, well, we'll get rid of him. We'll shove him into the pit. Noah's message wasn't, well, something good is going to happen to you today. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He was warning the people. And it's no different today. There's an ark prepared. There's an ark that you can get on and escape what is going to happen. I wish that every preacher would get that Bible out again and read it one more time from front to back, and just from cover to cover, because they can't be reading the Bible that I am. This Bible says a minister is supposed to be warning the people. The minister is supposed to be calling people to something higher, to separate themselves from this world. Come out and be separate. And there's blessings and protection for us. There's a tower we can run into and be a blessed people. He condemned the world, Noah did, and was a preacher of righteousness. Now listen to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wasn't this preacher that run around all the time going, consider the lilies how they grow. Now, he said that. But what about the other times? He said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and you hypocrites, you children of hell, fools and blind guides, white as sepulchres. You're all white on the outside, but you're inside, you're just dead, full of dead bones. You generation of vipers. How somehow people skipped over that Jesus in the Bible. People think that's being mean. It was just a warning. Come out of what you're doing. You know, God's going to always do what's right, though. Always, always, always. Despite all these things we've heard this morning, the Lord always does right. He wants justice done. Let me tell you what, even in this lifetime, I think your greatest reward's coming in heaven. Well, I know it is, when you're going to be able to cry out, God, when will we have justice rendered? And God's going to make things right, I know, at that point. But even in this life, it saddens me to watch people push against the gospel. I have watched. It's not a scare tactic. I'm just telling you. I have watched as people have pushed against the true message of the gospel, and I've watched what's happened in their lives. I watched the destruction. I watched as people have ran from God and what's happened to them. Let me tell you what, you would do yourself today very well if you'd do this one thing. God, I may not understand it all this morning. I don't know everything about the Bible. I know I certainly don't. I learn something every day. Every day that I read this Bible, I see something different in it. And I'm constantly learning. We're not all superstar Bible theologians. But if you do this one thing, God, I don't know all the answers. But I believe your son died for me. And I'm asking you, God, when I walk out that door today, to lead me and guide me. Change me forever. God, use me. You know that we can use every one of you. Don't think that your job is just to come to assemble on the pews. Don't think that your job is just to show up on Sunday morning once in a while. We need you to be a blessed people. We need you here. We need you assembling with the saints. I cannot tell you how everything is going to end in the U.S. I don't know where everything's going to end. Don't have a clue. Neither do you. But I'm asking you this morning, do you know where you're at in eternity? Are you absolutely sure this morning? I see young people. I see a lot of faces I don't even recognize. But are you absolutely sure? And some faces I've known for years. But if you stepped out that door today and something changed for all of us, are you ready? I see some of you that need a touch from God, not spiritually, physically. I see some of you that all of us need his protection this morning. You know, we get in a big hurry and I'm guilty, A number one. We're ready to bust out that door and go get something to eat every Sunday morning. I appreciate your patience, but I'm asking you Sunday, we gather around this altar just a minute. If you have a need this morning, don't let this time pass you by. Y'all would stand with me. Father, we love you. I'm asking you, Lord God, for a touch. God, we need your presence felt this morning. I'm asking the Holy Spirit would move in this altar service. God, the needs the people come down for in just a moment, that God, you're going to reach out with each and every need. You're going to touch that situation and change everything today, Lord. And I'm believing you for it. My friends, I'm asking you, if you have a need this morning, if things ain't right between you and the Lord, if you need a physical touch from the Lord, I'm asking you to make your way down here this morning. Don't be bashful about it. Just step on out of them aisles and come on down. Let's pray with you this morning. Hallelujah.
You've been listening to Bishop Farrell Wilson with the Lighthouse Church in Grenada, Mississippi. Visit our website at grenadachurch.com for service times and to offer your support to our ministry. Please forward all prayer requests, comments, or questions to The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 2441, Grenada, Mississippi 38902. Email us at lighthousechurchofgod@gmail.com or give us a call at 662-294-0608.
Drag it around like a ball and chain. Can't get it off your mind, can't get away. You think those reminders would have blown away by the winds of time. Failures many, troubles more. Sometimes you wonder how you got this far. But you know, everybody's got some things they want to leave behind. A broken heart that never healed. Bitterness because you won't forgive. Memories that follow you everywhere you go. Those words of anger, that choice you made, the regrets you struggle with that still haunt you today. You know, everybody's got some things wanna leave behind. Messed up bad, cried Lord help. You know he did, but you won't forgive yourself. Now your greatest battle is the fear of failure in your mind. You called it quits when you should have stayed. Then you hung around too long, you should have walked away. But you know, everybody's got some things they want to leave behind. A broken heart that never healed. Bitterness because you won't forgive. Memories that follow you everywhere you go. Those words of anger, that choice you made, the regrets you struggle with, that still haunt you today. You know, everybody's got some things they want to leave behind. Everybody's got some things they want to leave behind.